Gang, are you a fan of podcasts and Law & Order SVU? Well, I have the show for you. The seminal SVU podcast, Munch My Benson, is the twisted love child of co-hosts Adam Schwitters and Josh Dugan, celebrating the splendid and often wildly inappropriate lunacy found only on Law & Order SVU. Each week, Adam and Josh walk you through a random episode of SVU, all while sharing their smart and hilarious insight. Find Munch My Benson wherever it is you stream podcasts or go to munchmybenson.com for more info. That's Munch My Benson. Let's get down. Attention Austin guitarists, are you having problems with your pedals? Have you ever wanted a custom built pedal? Well, I have the guy for you. That's Paul English over at English Electronics. His pedals have been used by Charlie Sexton, Billy Harvey, and more. I personally use the English Electronics 4049 as my main boost and crunch pedal, and I love it. It gives my tone warmth while packing the punch I need. You can visit English Electronics East Austin shop by appointment only. Call them at 512-633-5106 or go to English Electronics on Facebook. That's English Electronics. Let's get down. And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Howdy.
Alright, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. Happy Memorial Day. I'm dropping this show a day early, why? Because it's a holiday. And maybe you want to listen to a show today. So I've got one for you. It's summertime now, gang. Temperature's going to go up. Things are going around. Hopefully this coronavirus will go away, right? Jesus. Things are opening back up. People are out there. Some people being cautious, some people not being cautious. I'm not really going around anywhere too flagrantly yet, you know? I'm just kind of like still keeping it on the home front, going out when I need to, doing the things I need to do, staying away from people. Until we see how this goes, you know? And I told you guys on the last show, you know, my band Skyrocket's already getting the offers. Looks like we might be playing a show on June 19th at Mercer Street Dance Hall in Dripping Springs. I'll keep you updated on that. But I do know that there's things opening up. There's people playing places. I've seen some stuff on Facebook and on social media about that. So we'll see how it goes, man. Hopefully people will be safe. People are being cautious. I err on the side of caution. So therefore, I'm kind of chilling out this weekend. Yeah. So, gang, I have a great show for you guys today. My dear friend Scott Collins returns to the show. He's got a brand new EP out, and it's interesting. Having done this show now since 2011, there's some people that have come on over the last few years. This is Scott's like sixth time maybe seventh time. But I've watched him grow, and this new EP that he has out, it's called Headed North. It's available now on Bandcamp before it goes to streaming services on Friday. It was produced by A&R Peterson and Frenchie Smith over at The Bubble. Scott, A&R, and Frenchie started recording this before the pandemic went down. Then it got to get mixed, mastered, and now it's available. Now, Scott released it a week early on Bandcamp to see if people will buy it. Now, it's only five songs. It's only $5. You think you can drop what my friend A&R Peterson says, drop a Lincoln on that one? I don't know. Hopefully you can. Check it out, man. ScottCollins.bandcamp.com. That's where it's available. Scott and I'm very proud of Scott. You know, he's been making music for a while. He's been putting out records. He's been live streaming throughout this whole thing. We've been talking, staying in touch throughout the pandemic, touching base, making each other laugh. That's a lot of what our relationship is about. You'll hear it on there. We cut each other up. But yeah, man, he made this record. And this is, you know, watching him over the last few years and all of his releases, this is his best work yet. A&R and Frenchie really brought the very best out in Scott. And I think Scott has taken an artistic step, a giant artistic step. And so go check this out. ScottCollins.bandcamp.com. The EP is called Headed North. Brilliant artwork by Billy Buck from Sailor Poon, who was just on the show a couple weeks ago. Yeah, check it out, man. And if you like it, buy it. Drop him a Lincoln, right? I think that's the way we should start doing it. Otherwise, this Headed North EP goes to streaming services on Friday. But you can listen to it on Bandcamp and check it out. Scott and I have a great conversation about life under quarantine, about making this EP with A&R and Frenchie and kind of pushing himself and how they pushed him to create what I think is his best work yet. where we think this live stream thing is going, checking in with his sobriety. Scott's a sober guy. You know what it's like to be under quarantine, under this kind of pressure, with this kind of anxiety, and not reaching for the bottle. Lots and lots of great stuff. Scott's an amazing dude, a great friend, a very talented songwriter and singer. He's just made his best work yet. Headed North, available now. Get it on Bandcamp. Sorry, I almost said the S word. Yeah, get it on Bandcamp, scottcollins.bandcamp.com. All right, and enjoy my conversation with my dear friend, Scott Collins. Let's get down. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing very well, Jay Gowd, in the fancy sauce. How you doing?
Doing good, man. I'm keeping it together, man. I have my days. Do you have we've talked throughout this whole thing. We have our days where we're, you know.
I have a day every day.
But I mean, like, those days where you're like, what the fuck, man? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a very normal part of this whole thing, and I allow myself to have it. Even if there's I know that I'm busy from 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. at night every single day. I know something's going to come up, especially working on this EP campaign. But I still have those moments of like this kind of stress or depression or weight on my shoulders, and I just allow it to be. I allow that moment to pass, and things just keep happening. So, yeah, I'm not letting it bog me down. I'm going to keep flowing with whatever we think time is.
Yeah. Have you been able to write during this time? I wrote a song yesterday with my friend Gabe, but I'm not in the zone of, like, you know, like, this is the time we could all be making our greatest records. Well, I mean, we'll talk about yours in just a second, but you did start the recording of this, and you did it before before we were locked down.
Yeah, and that's why I'm releasing it, or released it early. Instead, you know, it's because we had it finished. It was such a blessing that we had this thing basically finished before the stay-at-home quarantine hit. Right before we finished it in February, and so yeah, it's a blessing that I had this to be able to spend a lot of this time building the campaign up. To be able to release it while we're still quarantined. You know, it's still that time, and I'm living in the now. So, and they're great songs. I think they touch my heartstrings. So to be able to put them out now, means more to me than waiting.
So, this EP, it's called Headed North. By the time this comes out, this EP will be available wherever it is you stream and download your jams. Although you can go to Bandcamp and throw a guy a little money if you're thinking it's worth it, man. You put some money into this recording. It was done at the Bubble with Frenchie Smith and Einar Peterson. I know that you guys put a lot of work. And as a fan and a friend of yours, I told you this when you sent me the tunes, this is your best work, man.
Thank you.
Your best work, man. They brought the best out of Scott Collins.
Thank you. I humbly agree. And that's why I love the Dream Team, the A&R and Frenchie. They really push me and help me facilitate me to get to that next level. And the songs show that. And Frenchie and I have been working together since, like, my first legitimate band Agnes EP in 2012 with Southbound Drive. And so it's the culmination of all those years, like 2011 until now, of our relationship away from each other and together, to then you throw Einar in the mix and it's magic. And Einar really helps us stay reined in the studio. Like, we'll get really excited. It's like, that's great. I love that we're excited. Let's get this part perfect.
Right, right. He played drums and bass.
Drums, bass, acoustic guitar, backing vocals, some production, a lot of arrangement. A&R was the VIP on this. Frenchie killed at doing, producing and electric guitars. You know, Frenchie killed, obviously, what he does. And A&R just brought his A-plus game. And hopped it. Yeah, our motto in the studio for these songs is and was, whoever can hit the part, hits it. So, Scott, if I'm having trouble with an acoustic, A&R, he jumps on it. I liked how he played the song One Sick Man. I loved his kind of drunken sailor style of playing the guitar on that song. So I had him play the acoustic on that whole song.
He did some really phenomenal drumming on that too, man. On that tune specifically. Drumming. Yeah.
Yeah, we have one song maybe it's Bullet, but there's no cymbals. There's only a hi-hat. Right. And the entire song there's no cymbals. But yeah, we did some really cool stuff, especially with A&R and drums.
Yeah. So, talk to me about these tunes. Like, where did they how long had they been sitting around?
They've been sitting around for at least 2 years. I remember right when I was done recording my last EP in 2018 with Frenchie called Roadmaps, I finished recording that. And then I went to Colorado like the next week for a little break. And I sat down there and wrote like three songs and immediately emailed Frenchie. So those three songs 2 years later ended up getting Frankensteined onto this EP, and then everything else. This is honestly, this EP is like the last of my just brand new music that I've been writing that I can't get out of my head. Just so many years I've been laying down all these kind of new tracks, so this is five brand new songs that no one's heard. One I wrote on tour, three I wrote after the studio with Frenchie. One called Headed North, the single, I've actually been playing a different version of it live, testing it out ever since I wrote it on a 2018 tour. And so that's been cool also to see now how it's completely changed on the record. Not completely, but it's different. It's rad. This is a cool time because this is my five brand new tracks, which will lead to me just going back into my reservoir of songs that I've written since I started and making songs out of those. And I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds to go back through my back catalog.
That's great. So traditionally, when you put out a record, man, you've gone on tour. Like when you did Roadmaps and stuff like that, you put out a thing and then you go out on the road to support it and kind of run around the country with your homeboy Rob.
Yep.
And this is a different time. Like when you set out to make this record, when you guys were in there recording, you were trying to figure out how to do shows with a band that would be a little bit different, that sort of would suit these songs, I bet. And then all of a sudden, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, and how, that's okay. I mean, I sent them, huh?
No. So what I was going to say is like how it's a completely different landscape releasing a record than it was before for you, because you would go out on the road and you would play shows and you would go on the TV thing and you'd go on the radio and, you know, you do all the things that you need to do to take these steps. And now you're in this position where you can't do shit except like film yourself from your fucking phone in your studio, which, by the way, looks really cool, but still, like, what the fuck? How has that changed your thing? What are you planning on doing? And where are you at with it all?
So for me, nothing has changed. While in the same vein, everything has changed. The only thing that can't happen for me right now is playing live and touring. And that is, yes, a huge part of it. And one of the only ways musicians make a living in music these days is through licensing and sync deals and then live shows and merch. You've
but
gotta
way,
go.
Way more live shows than, I mean, yeah, marketing and sync deals, that's like, 2% of the fucking population.
Right, exactly. But I'm painting a picture of that pie chart that is a tiny little 2%, and then the rest of us, we got a gig. We got a tour. But for me, nothing else is changing on the promo front. Since I've had time being quarantined, I put in all my efforts that I would have already either working with a PR company, stuff they would do, like sending out to radio. I've just been doing that and hitting up friends, designing an entire campaign that I would have otherwise, since most of the promo was all done online and then you go tour. So I set it up in a way that I don't have like a 5-year plan, but I do have a few months plan. I've got 5 lyric videos backed up that I'm going to release. I'm working on a music video with my director that is going to be really clever and quarantine safe, that did the Something Different Here music video. And I'm also going to have a listening party where it is going to have to be like this, but it'll still be fun, where I'll play the EP on my speakers where everyone can hear it. And it'll, and then I'll have my computer out where I can interact with people. And then in terms of a live show, yes, that is tough and it is going to be online, but because I have the instrumentals to this EP mastered, I'm going to do a live stream from Chicken Run Studios, deck it out. I'll work with Dylan Fisher, the head engineer here, and run it through the Neve and the speakers so that I can perform up to a standard that I believe is, very respectable for where we are right now, and actually get the record out. I can't, like anyone else, predict when I'm going to be able to play live, but I also did send the track to dudes I've been playing with live. So they're listening and learning now their individual parts, so that when we come together, the live show hopefully will just take off whenever that is possible, because now it'll definitely be more one-off, bigger, better shows, and a lot more effort into the production is where I'm going to go when it becomes live. But until then, man, I'm just going to hustle every day, radio all around the country. I want to try, got to get write up, start co-writing with people, just do everything I can behind the scenes, as they say, which is now the everyday work we all should be doing as musicians.
Yeah. Can I point out at this point in the interview that you're not wearing a shirt?
Yeah.
And like with all your tattoos, like you've got 2 sleeves and a giant, I don't even know what's happening on your chest, except for I think you have Africa on one of your boobs.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you a little tour. So I've got Africa.
Yeah. And you got a country crossed out. You got a country crossed out.
No. That's not a country. That's a shield. That's the Luo shield. That's my girlfriend is from that tribe.
Right.
From that region. And then this says Austin, this says Chicago. That's a big skull with a dagger going through the head.
So let me ask you a question. You got a lot of tattoos. You got a Black Flag logo. Is that a Black Flag logo?
Yeah, it's Black Flag right there. Left.
Did you grow up on the punk rock?
Yeah, I grew up on punk rock, right into the emo, screamo, metalcore, post-hardcore shit. Really emotional, but that brought me right back to, wait, where did this come from? So it did bring me back to punk rock and led me to Black Flag. And I was obsessed with their work ethic, watching documentaries and reading about them, how they would tour, obviously, like everyone else, doing these giant punk circuit tours that were just insane. And they would still wake up every single morning or before everyone else and rehearse. Like that's huge to me, especially in punk rock. They would rehearse. So I that just always stuck with me, and I put it here just kind of remembered to always take it seriously, no matter how much it is rock and roll.
Yeah, it is rock and roll, baby. So, so when did you get all those tattoos? When did you start getting tattoos? When did you get interested in the tats?
I started when I was 23 years old. And I got this, it says Nasce Ta Ipsum on my armpit. It says Know Thyself. And then I got Vivo et Amor, to live in love, in my other armpit. And then it just spread all the way down. Black.
What, like, do you...
My fingertips.
Have you reached a point? Or are you still like, yeah, I still got to get some more, guys?
I'm a dipped tattoo collector, lifer, just like in music. I'm a lifer in tattoo, music, and hopefully film someday. So no, I'm I mean, I'm not going to tattoo my face anymore and probably lay off the neck, but I still have my full stomach that I may want to do a big old rocker tatty. I've got my back that I'll do a huge back piece. I've still got my butt and most of my legs. So
yeah,
but my neck, head and hands are basically covered in face.
Is it one person that's done all that stuff, or is it a bunch of different guys?
Totally different. Most of my body is friends over the years. When I first started out in Dallas, when I dropped out of grad school and put myself in rehab and all that shit, it led to me just hanging out at a tattoo shop every day called Hold Fast on Lower Greenville in Dallas. And I'd work at Urban Outfitters and then just hang out at the tattoo shop. And they just started tattooing the hell out of me. And over the years, I became friends with tattooers. And then ever since, I would just kind of get tattooed by homies. And then now here in Austin, I'll go to a shop. Like, there's Rock of Ages that I trust with, like, my neck and ears, face area, and then depending on where I'm getting it on my body, what, you know, who it is. Like if someone wanted to tattoo their first time or something, I'd be like, yeah, I've got room right here on my rib, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'll go to a shop, you know, someone I checked out beforehand for somewhere more visible.
Sure. You think that culture is still thriving like it once was, like 15 years ago or in the 90s or something?
Very different. I think I'm not in it anymore from what I've seen, but what I see now is I'm glad a lot of it has changed. Cause I mean, the shop I went to was dope, but the shop I went to before that was horrible. There was a guy selling drugs to kids. They were making illegal underground porno. It was a disgusting place. Horrible. And it was like, I don't know. And I didn't know, I was a young kid, so I'm just getting tattooed and I hear all these things. And then the dude who was working on my arm was hooked on heroin, so he started nodding off one time on my arm. And that was when I was like, yo, I'm out. I'm eating the cost on this sleeve. I'm out. And I went to the shop, Hold Fast, and then they kind of like saved my life and hooked me up and we became homies. But at this one shop in Dallas that where all this crime was happening, there was actually a friend of mine I made. I was in rehab at the same time that this biker's wife was, and his name was Little John, and he was the head or the leader of a motorcycle club from Oklahoma, because his dad started basically the first legal tattoo shop or illegal tattoo shop and selling like a garbage bag full of weed, and they would sell it, walk around. Anyway, so he's this big old bad biker for the Scorpions, and he would cry on my shoulder. Like, we'd hug. We really got to know each other, and he had people like out hunting him because you can't just leave a motorcycle club. But he chose his wife. Yeah, he chose his wife over the club and left. And so he was kind of tattooing. So, I mean, although it was seedy, like everything else in my life, being a journalist and a storyteller, I've got cool stuff from everywhere I've been, and I've just been collecting tattoos along the whole way. I just say I'm putting stickers on my suitcase.
Oh, that's good. That's a good metaphor, man.
Yeah, I've been saying that from the beginning. So,
there's some drug references right out the bat. After the Snow is the first song, right?
After the Snow, sorry. Yeah, After the Show.
After the Show, sorry. It's far away. Mike took my glasses off. I'm sorry.
No, hey, it does talk about blow.
Right. After the Show, sorry, bro.
It's okay, blow.
After the Show, sorry, bro. Talk to me about that song.
Yeah, that it's more of a sentiment or like a metaphor. The chorus there, you were out of smoke, but all you had was blow.
Yeah.
It's like you play this gig and you're exhausted and everybody's grabbing at you, but the band's loading out the gear so Sabrina Ellis, actually a friend of mine, a really good friend of my girlfriend,
mine too,
I look up to. Yeah, she's a friend of a lot of people. I really look up to her as a performer, an artist, a human. She is an idol of mine. But I was on tour and this song came to me. I was on tour myself with Rob, and every venue we went to, every store, everything, there was a giant dog poster. So we kind of felt a piece of home, like we were chasing them on tour.
Hang on. For those of you listening, Sabrina Ellis is the lead singer of Sweet Spirit and a giant dog. Go ahead.
Phenomenal. And I started writing this song, and I was just reminiscing on stories that she's kind of talked about, of being on tour and how hard it is, and things she's been through. And that just kind of melded into the lyrics, like, you're burnt, you spilled your soul, and the band is gone, but they'll never let you go. It's not directly about her, but, you know, she was a big influence when I was writing that song. Inspired, and the kind of a muse, and the chorus about blow, that's purely just a sentiment that I thought was interesting and funny, and, like, you know,
it has that after party vibe. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
exactly. Ahead. Yeah. No, yeah. Well, I mean, you do blow, you want a cigarette. All you have is or you don't have any cigarettes, but all you have is blow. You do blow, you don't have this. And then the metaphor, any way you want to take it. But I thought it was funny, the sentiment.
You're sober and
I'm off booze and hard drugs.
You're off booze and hard drugs. We know you're a man of the earth.
I'm a man. Man of the earth. Above my black flag tattoo, if you can see it.
Yes, is the MJ leaf, Mary Jane, baby. So outside of Mary Jane, that's your jam. Has it been at all? Have you questioned your sobriety throughout this time at all?
Yeah, it's been hard. To be completely honest, through the ups and downs in this time of quarantine, the only thing that has kind of truly helped me stay sober is that it's been 3 or 4 years. It's been 4 years, and I have so many people supporting me again. Like when I got sober in Dallas for the first time, a bartender would punch me in the face if I tried to order a drink. They loved that I was sober. Kind of here in Austin, my friends, I can't let them down. I can't let myself down. But yeah, there's been times I've been sitting there and it's like, I just need a drink. Maybe I could just have one. I'm in court. Whatever excuse would come in and out of my brain that is, you know, the parts of me are trying to create, I just would know. Hold strong. Know that it won't help a thing. I'm not going to enjoy being hungover.
No.
And for the first, why don't I just get hungover while I'm in quarantine?
Yeah.
And I got too much of my momentum going. It doesn't fit for me. It doesn't fit in my life. And if clearly I'm only going to look to it when I'm the downest of the down, no, that's just my parts again trying to bring me back.
I will say, I mean, as a guy that I would say I'm not a daily drinker by any means. I don't drink that much, but I like a drink. And when I desire a drink, I'll move into a second, maybe a third, maybe even a fourth drink. Especially being stuck at home, it's like, what harm am I doing to anyone?
True.
And I'm watching Rolling Stones stuff from the 70s on YouTube and stuff and just getting excited. But the worst days I've had in this quarantine have definitely been hangover days.
Really?
Yeah. I would have like these virtual after parties for myself after those Thursday live streams I was doing.
Oh, yeah.
I talked to you a couple times afterwards. I call people, talk to them for 15, 20 minutes, having cocktails, then taking shots.
I know, but you're just so coherent and such a good, like, you can handle your liquor, so it's hard to tell when you're like, dude, I'm drunk. Really?
Right, but what I'm pointing at is definitely that it's the hangovers that are brutal.
Oh, of course. I can only imagine.
And they make these days worse. So, that's good, man. I'm glad that you're hanging in there and you feel like you have a good handle on what's going on. You've done some live streaming. Speaking of live streaming, everybody's doing live streaming. You don't know, you know, you can't go on a social media platform without somebody going live that you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm OCD. I clear my updates constantly, so I'm just constantly saying, like, live stream. Yeah.
So, let's talk about this. Your live streams. You've done a couple of different ones where you straight up play songs from your tunes. And then another one where you make some shit up and just kind of like turn on the thing and go crazy. How is that? Let's explore that. How has that worked out for you as an artist? Do you feel like you're reaching new people or just satiating your current fan base? Or do you find it's worth it? Do you feel like it's a good release? Do you feel like it's just you jonesing to play? Or do you feel like you really should? You know what I mean? Like, how do you feel about it now that it's been a couple of months?
Yeah, totally. I created a channel called In the Loop Zen, just a page on Facebook, as my outlet. I've kind of found a way to funnel it so it doesn't get all over the place. I realized when I did my live streams where I did music, either I set up a Facebook event and promoted it, or I just kind of did it random and played for a while. I never made any tip. Maybe at the beginning I made $27, but the only time I made tips is when in the middle of one, I decided to donate all the proceeds to the Central Texas Food Bank and people started tipping. It was awesome. So I realized to myself, if I'm ever going to do a live stream where I just play music like a concert, people aren't going to tip me. So I'm just going to donate that money if I do it. But I don't really have any intention of doing that right now unless I want to donate money, because I am doing it, as you said, to fulfill that need. I want to get out in front of the audience. It's not like I had a gig book and I need to be there and show up. I just feel like I want to do it. And maybe I'm expecting a lot. So what I've decided is to just not do any of that. Luckily, I have the EP to focus on and I can release that and that kind of stuff. But I just put all my energy into In the Loop Zen of just, if I want to do something, do it there. And don't force myself. Like, if I don't want to do it, don't do it. And then also, though, if I do feel like live streaming, at this point I'm not, because I've got the EP. I want to try to focus and keep things on point. But before that, keep in mind, yeah, you're doing it. I was doing it for myself and to see if I can make a couple extra bucks, because, you know, I'm out of three jobs. So I realized I wasn't. To sum it up, I realized I wasn't making tips. So I might as well use it to donate money to charities if I'm going to do it, but ultimately not do it that much because, yeah, it is kind of a more, I need to connect type thing. I need to perform and I don't really need to, you know what I mean? Until the time's right or I'm booked on something.
Yeah. That was one of the things that when I started doing it, I was like, who am I doing this for? Like, am I doing this for me? Because I could just sit in my living room and sing to my phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a mixture in between, like, the old days and this new uncharted territory of where, you know, we'd want to connect with people, so we'd want to go live or do these things, and we kind of hold back, maybe because we had something real tangible out in the world coming up, but now we're just, anytime we feel it, kind of putting it out. Some people aren't. Some people are making money off of it. They say they make tips, even retroactively. That's cool. Do your thing. My advice, if it's not working and nothing's coming from it and you keep having to do it, yeah, maybe it's because you're just doing it for you. Find a different way. I've decided to just kind of not do live streams, but if I feel the need to be seen, I'll be funny. Like I did this song I recorded on my loop pedal called I Want You to Want Love or whatever. So I did that again the other day because I was really, you know, up there in the clouds kicking it and flying high. And I was like, I'm going to do it. But the whole time I just did physical comedy. I just fell. I kind of let loose being free and weird and silly. And I was like, man, just. Maybe if people did that instead of staging it and trying to sound perfect and get your loops all dopey and jammy, it's like, have fun, be weird.
I feel like when I did it, I tried to treat it like what I would do at like, you know, the Cactus or, you know, Strange Brew, if you remember that place, like that kind of energy. We're like, okay, or Townsend or something, like, okay, I've got an audience. I'm going to talk directly to them, tell them stories, tell them how I'm feeling and stuff. You know what I mean? And just kind of like try and really connect. But man, that's very hard to do when you're just looking at your phone. You know what I mean? There's no people there reacting to you. I can't, yeah. Like when I'm doing it, I don't read the comments. That's weird.
Yeah, I'd say what you did, what I saw was was close to perfect, like of how it should be done, how you do it. You promoted it. Made it more than once.
But I made it like a minimal kind of show. Like, look, I'm just going to play like one instrument. I'm not going to try and do all this stuff that's going to cause sound problems and then have to come back in 5 minutes. I'm going to have like a straight up just like, hey, this is me. Here's my piano, my guitar. I got a ukulele over here. What's going on? Yeah. What about outside of obviously Loving Mine, have you seen any... Have you seen any live streams? I mean, have you gotten turned on to any new bands through live streaming?
Well, not yet. I know.
Well, it's been Ray 2 months, man. It's been 2 months. You'd think like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm wondering, because I felt like when I was doing it, I was just satiating fans that were already there. I don't think someone's going to come across that and go like, wow, this guy's just sitting there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, straight up. Yeah, no, I definitely think time now is the time for us as musicians to kind of focus on new content. What can we do? Is it a single? Is it a lyric video? Is it whatever you can do that's kind of new and fresh, or get your old stuff out in a new way? But yeah, just sitting around picking a guitar like you're busking.
That's what I felt like I was doing.
But to your phone? Yeah, you were putting on a quaint show for your fans, and that's great, but you're not doing it every day, every week, jumping out there. You had a residency, you did it, now you're taking a break, focusing on your show. How did I get here? Perfect. I did a couple, saw how they went, and then now I'm going with that. So I'm going to focus on my EP and putting a lot of my energy into that, co-writing with people. I'm putting my energy into other things instead of that need to just stick with the one thing I was doing and playing Oliver Austin at clubs and now just doing it to my phone. No, and what you did was great. If you came back and did another residency down the line, you know, when and if we're still in this, depending on long, that'd be cool too. But the everyday tuning in and stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was doing that, and I'm kind of doing funny stuff. In my mind, it's just trying to show people the real me and get enough attention as I can, so that when the EP came out, people would be like, oh, he's either they hate me or they love me. He's weird, he's silly, he's funny, he's stupid, he's not funny. He has this show where he makes loops, that's cool. He has this show where he makes loops that's way too long, 26 minutes to make a loop. You know, whatever it is, once I drop this EP, I don't have to do that, and people may just listen to the music, and then I could just kind of keep being me on the screen. And one thing I like about all this is I think it's really broken down the fourth wall for a lot of us as artists, so you really see who you are. And if you're one of those cats that's just sitting there playing the guitar like you would on stage, that's cool, but who are you also then really? And this is a chance for us, if we've ever wanted to connect with our audiences and have them see us, then this is the time. And just do it. If you're gonna play a show, no, you're gonna screw up. Like, the internet doesn't work, videos, whatever you're doing, just...
I feel like it's also a time of invention.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
You know what I mean? Like, it's time to reinvent how we present this shit, because...
And ourselves.
Because when I look at my own live stream, and I'm going to shit on myself on this, and I'm not fishing for compliments, I'm saying that it's no difference than anything anyone else is doing that I see in the thing. I'm just Johnny doing it, which was one of those things that discouraged me. It is interesting. I mean, it is a time to sort of reinvent what it is that we do and how we present it, because I don't know how you feel about this, but it doesn't seem like there are signs pointing to what, say, a Skyrocket show was anytime soon.
No, I don't see that at all.
There's no Antones thing going on anytime soon. No,
maybe not for a year, maybe not until 2021.
Yeah, so that's interesting, man. It's kind of kind of a freaky thing. You said that you love film, obviously. I know you watch a lot of stuff. What have you seen during quarantine that you're enjoying?
We watch a lot of movies. I'm trying to see if anything really, really stood out. This is kind of just out there and different, but I didn't expect to dig it as much as I did. I don't know why. Maybe I didn't like the previous movie, but the, what is it? The Joker's Girlfriend movie.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm not as familiar with that character. But yeah, that movie was awesome. It
really?
Was
Margot Robbie, yeah, right?
Margot Robbie. It was really entertaining. It was funny. It was on point with like modern social views that we have, you know, like empowering women, and it was a cool movie. They actually did it really well. I remember my girlfriend and I watching it and being like, that was actually really good and entertaining and funny.
What about any music stuff? I know that you're a hip-hop guy, and I think at the beginning of this quarantine, or right around the beginning, there was a new season of this show called Hip Hop Evolution on Netflix.
Yes.
Where they kind of go through, I mean, if you guys haven't seen that, if you're listening to this show, you haven't seen that, I think even if hip hop isn't your thing, you want to get an understanding of it. It's really worth watching. It's really well done.
Yeah, 100%. I personally will kind of have a motto of watching anything on music from something I'm not interested in, just because I will learn. Like, I was, but this is cool, but I was watching the Bee Gees earlier, an evolution of the Bee Gees. But so I haven't listen to a lot of hip hop, unfortunately. I didn't expect it, but what I've done I do check out people's music immediately now. When people send me, like friends and stuff, videos or new music, whatever, I am listening to people's new songs immediately. I'm not putting anything off, which I love because I can. I've stumbled down the rabbit hole of early to mid 2000s emo, screamo, metalcore YouTube playlist of I'll go back through, and I won't watch the full videos, but I'm just clicking on every single one that I like. Oh my god, I remember that. Oh my god, I remember that. Oh my god, I remember that. So I accidentally went down that old nostalgic rabbit hole of shame.
I've done that too, even though I'm a little bit older than you, but a lot of my stuff is like early and mid 80s, like MTV, New Wave hits.
Yeah.
And shit, yeah.
So that's what I hit, because I've written songs. In a way, I'm kind of proud. Like, I'm usually more humble than this, but I'm in a way kind of proud of myself, because during this quarantine, I've actually been reading, where I just collect books, but I never read them. Now I'm actually reading, but I'm not a ton, just
what,
a little bit.
What have you been reading?
I'm reading American Scream, the Bill Hicks story.
Oh, yeah.
So a biography on Bill Hicks. I started doing just kind of light workouts again. I've been writing songs, but not full songs. I'm purging ideas and riffs and some lyrics here and there. I've gone back and listened to some old stuff, focused on this EP and its campaign, been doing some co-writing, got to hook up with Jack Anderson and Apollo Greed, a rapper. And we are over the phone working on a song that Jack Anderson wrote all the beats, and Apollo Greed's working on the lyrics, and I might help with the hook. And I did this little Niles Roger guitar riff that whenever we can get together, we'll all lay it down. So yeah, in terms of hip hop, I've been getting more into actually being able to physically work in that world, which is awesome.
Are you a fan of Chic?
Yes. I'd have to say I actually am.
Yeah. Do you, I have this thing, because your music would be classified, it's just like indie rock, it's like singer-songwriter, whatever it is you want to call it. It's not dance music, you know what I mean? Sometimes I want to do a record like that, that's just straight up, but I'm 51, I'm like, what kind of fucking, I want to make like a summertime record, like a record you turn up on the porch at the beach house. And dance.
Don't listen to the hype. You can do it. You can. Do you remember when Train had a comeback out of nowhere? This band Train.
See, wait a minute. Wait, right? Just right there. That makes me not want to do it. I hate. No. I hate Train. And I'm like, oh. Well,
yeah, but you can't hate something. No, well, you can. But I'm not using them as the, like, you like them or not. But their ability to have the songs back when people were, you know, whatever, in my middle school days, to then all of a sudden have this record chart-topping pop hit, to when I listened to it, I was like, no way, that's Train. And then you see them live. So if it's in you, and I know you, Johnny, as the songwriter, the creator, even engineer, producer with all your stuff at home, I've heard some of your songs, and they are awesome. They're huge. They're cool. They're hits. You and I have done funky stuff together where we wrote a song off of, what was that, Casio drum machine? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So if it's in you, and I'm talking to anyone else out there, since we can't go gig or do any of this stuff right now, and people aren't going to look on stage and be like, I can't dance to him. No, make the record, make the songs, put it out, because people will dance to the music.
It's time. I think it's time I do that. Thanks, Scott. This podcast is brought to you by Scott Collins talking Johnny Gowdy, making him feel good.
Yeah.
Headed North, that's the name of Scott's EP, if you're just tuning in. Just kidding. This record will be out by the time this comes out. The artwork was done by Billy Buck, who was just on the show. She's the lead singer and saxophone player of Sailor Poon and an award-winning artist in her own right.
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
Did you give her any direction on this? It's great. This is a great album cover, man. I'll post it on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. You can look at that. Better yet, go check it out on Scott Collins Bandcamp.
Thank you very much.
Did you give her any direction?
No, not really. I just sent her the song. Excuse me. I sent her the song before they had the backing vocals, and she just listened to them, and I completely trusted her artistic abilities and her choices, and I respect her. So but she did ask for, like, you know, look through my stuff and what kind of fonts you like, and I just sent her examples of what she'd already done, of like, I like that and that, and then I just let her run with it. Explaining the songs to her, I sent her the lyrics, and just let her kind of dive in. And especially when it has to do with art, when I work with people with art, I like to see their interpretation, unless I have something in mind.
Right.
Which I did do with Laura Lee Linklater on my Sleeper EP many years ago. That's Richard Linklater's daughter did the art cover for that.
I find that the best way for me to do that is find someone whose stuff I like and ask them to listen to the music and show me what their vision of that. And I don't think I've ever sent something back and been like, you don't understand, you're horrible.
Yeah, honestly, me either. Because with that intention of already kind of wanting to work with that person, I think it adds. But yeah, no, Billy Buck, she was just immediately came to mind. Yeah,
she's real cool, man. Do you know her in real life?
Yeah, I do. I do. I know her through my girlfriend, Alexandra. She inspired her to wear the leather spandex pants at the Austin Music Awards. My girlfriend was wearing some before that at, like, Justine's or something. We were there. But, yeah. No, I do know her. I would say definitely more acquaintances, you know, but through working together, we have a chance of becoming friend-like homies.
When she was on the podcast, it ended with her going, I'm going to go work on the artwork for Scott Collins' album.
I know. That was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I know.
A little time stamp on that.
I know. I loved it.
Let me ask you this, man. As far as art, are you an art guy? I mean, obviously, you got all these tattoos. You're like, do you follow, do you read, do you look for, do you appreciate art?
Oh, yeah. All of that, but I can't draw.
Oh, yeah. No, I meant like, you know, there's people that, like, you know artist names, you have a favorite artist, you know, I follow artists on Instagram that, you know, basically over the last like 10 years or so, it has been easy to find new artists in that way. And that's been real cool. Unfortunately, and I don't know if this is a reflection of, or if this is something that you're feeling too, is like, you know, you did this beautiful artwork for this EP, and it's going to be fucking smaller than an inch when you see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The same thing with artwork, but do you follow people on Instagram and find new people? I find that I do that.
Yeah, no, not specifically, but, my Instagram, honestly, is mainly all music, and I get nauseous when I scroll through, so I can only look at, like, the beginning of my algorithm in the feed. But I do appreciate art anywhere, everywhere, people's homes. But no, I haven't been able to follow, like, specific artists. I've always, ever since I was a kid in middle school, Dali, I loved Dali-esque stuff for sure.
Does that, do people that are super into Dolly, do they like MC Escher? You know, the guy with all the weird 3D kind of stairs going everywhere and all that weird shit?
I don't want to assume for all art aficionados like myself, but yes.
Who's your favorite?
I would say at this point, Dolly.
Yeah.
But I'm open. But yeah, I usually like what I see in the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, be it at someone's... I'd like to appreciate a lot of things that other people may, like, care about. Like, if I go into someone's house and they have art up, I'm going to look at it. Check it out. They put it up for a reason. Like, if you see someone out, like, hey, I like your shoes, if you like them, because they chose to wear it. That's a little off topic, but, I appreciate art, just not as in-depth as you're speaking.
Okay. Like, you don't go to museums when you're on tour, like, oh, we're going to, you know, this place. We can hit the MoMA or something, the Brooklyn Art Museum or some shit in New York.
Yeah, yeah. Nope, I would. 100%.
And you come from Chicago's a big museum town, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I love all that. I just, you know, I'm more in it for the experience than memorizing who did it.
Oh, you just made me feel like an asshole then.
No, I'm just saying, Well, there's two things. It's like, well, I could go into an art museum and appreciate a piece of art, and then someone be like, well, that's so-and-so. It's like, cool. I love that that's who it is, but I just don't know people's names.
Okay. All right, Mr. Fucking, I experience it, not memorize the names. Scott Collins, how long have we known each other? I mean, obviously long enough for you to feel comfortable enough to just be without a shirt on in this interview.
Yeah.
Like you're Iggy Pop or something.
Yeah, I didn't even know that we'd be seeing each other. I don't know why I thought Zoom would just be voices to fit with the podcast.
Well, I'm just recording the audio, but I like to look at normally my guests are clothed, but.
No, I know. I don't know why. My mind, since this is a new world to me, I've confused a few things when I've done live streams where I expected it to be normal. And it wasn't. And when you said we're going to Zoom your podcast, I don't know why, since you don't post videos, that there was no video involved. Maybe it was an aspect of Zoom where it was only audio. So, yeah, originally, when you and I started this, I was sitting in my ISO booth in my studio, shirtless in the pitch black dark. And I realized...
Well, all I could see was the computer light reflection on your tatted up nude chest. And
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then, I turned on the lights and realized, oh, we're doing this live. So I can't go run and grab a t-shirt now. Might as well just rock this out.
Just go with it, man. Go with it.
Yeah.
You know, that actually, it lends itself to that sort of screamo early 2000s trip that you were talking about that you were into.
That's true.
How did you switch from emo into like more folk? Not folk, but more singer-songwriter Americana-inspired music.
There's a big folk revival kind of thing going on in the emo, screamo, metalcore bands, I noticed, or like even like the country punk bands. Like this band Lucero, they started this thing called the Revival Tour, Folk Revival Tour or something, where a bunch of punk rockers just would play these folk acoustic-style songs.
Right.
Yeah. And they had it at Fun Fest 1 year. So a lot of my friends and all these circles I've been hanging out with in high school, that's just kind of where the music was going, a little more folky, a little more root cult, you know, country. And so that's where I led into it, in that realm. The white boy part of me growing up just kind of went through all the screamo emotional shit into then the like tattooed up emotional acoustic stuff. Growing up,
oh no, sorry. There's a similar ethos in like the DIY and like the telling the truth, and sort of like the same thing that's connected to not pop rap, but like, you know, real street kind of rap where people are telling stories about society at the time. And I feel like I bringing the truth, reporters from the scene, you know.
Straight up.
I feel like there's punk rock that does that, and it does, that is a normal sort of like next move. You know, a lot of guys that are, I don't know if you know Frank Turner.
Yeah.
British guy.
He
was a punk guy, you know. It's that same, and you bring that same sort of intensity to the, you know, the acoustic folk trip.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I agree. And that's how I see it as well.
I'm glad, Scott. Scott, Headed North, it'll be out. People can find you at scottcollinsproject.com. They can find you in the Facebook and the Instagram. While this will be available on Spotify and streaming services, we do encourage that if you would like to, what are you selling this record for on Bandcamp?
Just $5 or pay what you want.
All right. So if you want to do that, help a brother out. He went into the studio. He hired dudes. He paid dudes to work on this stuff. How about paying my homeboy a little something for the effort and the great music, great strides. Headed
really
North, available
it.
Now, wherever it is you stream and download your jams. Preferred that you go to Bandcamp, find Scott Collins. Is it Scott Collins Project?
It is scottcollinsproject.com, only on the website. Everything else is just Scott Collins.
And so people could just go there. There's links to the Bandcamp. There's links to everything there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely everything. It'll be on all socials. I put it on TuneCore. The release TuneCore is the 31st of May, so it goes to Spotify, all streaming, YouTube, everywhere. And I also have 5 animated lyric videos coming out, a music video I'm working on, a listening party, a live stream show. Yeah, stay tuned.
One question about the video that you're making.
Yeah.
Will you wear a shirt?
Oh, I don't know yet. I can't.
Who's directing that video?
John Sandoval, who did the Something Different Here music video off the last EP I released.
Fantastic.
Called Roadmaps. Yeah, the song Something Different Here is great. It was released by The Chronicle.
Great video. You're going to have a listening party on June 5th. That's later this week. Is that Friday?
Yeah.
Friday night, man.
Friday,
live
June
stream.
5th.
Having a listening party.
Play it, have lights, and then I'm going to have my computer out so that I can, because it'll give people a week to listen to it, and then we'll talk. You know,
reflect.
I will have my, talk, reflect, if they have any questions, ask me, and we'll just hang out, listen to a song, chat, you know.
All right, man.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think we did today, Scott?
I think we did great. We've been doing these for a while.
For
you know
a while.
I mean?
Well, how many times is this? 5, 6?
That's what I was thinking. At least 5, maybe 6.
Yeah.
And it's, man, we're really getting it down.
You think so? I wonder if I'm very comfortable in this one, way more than I am. And look, I'm hanging my arm on my thing, and I'm just like, hey, buddy, what's going on, buddy?
That's hilarious. I didn't notice that's what that was. Yeah. No, man, that's what it's about. It's about the... That's what makes your show so special. Is you allow to break. You've been breaking down the fourth wall before Corona has been breaking down the fourth wall.
I've been breaking down the fourth wall since 2011. Headed North is this EP, 5 songs. Scott Collins, your best work, best songwriting, best production, best leaps, most exciting production I've heard. And we got to tip the hat to A&R Peterson and Chris Frenchie Smith over at the Bubble for doing such a great job.
Oh yeah, dream team, I love it.
Yeah, they A&R spoke very highly of your stamina in the studio.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
he said, "Man, that guy don't stop."
I've had that since the basketball days. They had to create a sophomore team in high school because there were so many of us that had so much stamina, but we just weren't good enough to make the JV team. So that's kind of what it was like with me and them at the studio. I'm just hustling.
Scott Collins, always hustling. Great to have you on the show, buddy.
All right. Always a pleasure to be here. Love you, dude.
Love you, too. Check out his brilliant EP, Headed North. Go find it on Bandcamp. Buy it. $5. 5 songs, $5, man. You can do that.
Oh, yeah. I could do it.
Yeah. dude, you should do it.
I'll buy my own EP. Are you kidding? It's so good. I'll buy it.
Great talking to you, dude. Love you, man.
You too, man. Love you too.
Sink to the ground. Start walking.
Scott Collins. His brand new EP, Headed North, is available now. on Bandcamp. So go to scottcollins.bandcamp.com. There's 5 songs there. You can check them out, man. Throw them a fiver. Or as my friend Anar would call it, drop him a Lincoln. Drop him a Lincoln. If that's what you want to do, man, let's try this experiment. Don't wait until Friday when it goes on the streaming services. Go check it out on Bandcamp, and if it's something you like, drop $5, buy it from him. That's what we're saying. Scott Collins, find him at scottcollinsproject.com. Find him on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. The dude is everywhere. And of course, scottcollins.bandcamp.com, where you can pick up this 5-song EP for just $5, produced by the great Anar Peterson and Frenchie Smith. Gorgeous artwork by Billy Buck. The EP is called Headed North. Go out and get it now. And don't forget, when you're out there checking out scottcollinsproject.com, you can find us wherever it is you stream or download your podcasts, including YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast. Anywhere you find podcasts, you'll get a new show from us every Tuesday and every Friday. Me talking to another musician or great creator. All right? All right, gang. Have a good week. I hope you enjoyed your Labor Day festivities. Enjoy it. Have a great week. Whatever it is you're doing, let's get down.
To the blurred lines. And honestly, I'm falling into this sea. I'm drowning. I'm falling.